Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to this edition of On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 71. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally up in the Pacific Northwest. Sean Wally, how you doing today, man?
The first official day of fall is upon us, and man, it was about 89 degrees today in the Tri-Cities. You would not know it is autumn just yet.
So, speaking of that fantastic weather, of course, we always get things started off right on the double with the Double S Express. And week number 3 is here in the NFL, a big, big game up in the Pacific Northwest. There were talks of this game the past, I would probably say the beginning of the season, all the way back to the end of last season. And what I mean by that, the Denver Broncos invading the clink up in Seattle.
Absolutely, and it looked to be a much closer contest than what was seen in February in Super Bowl 48, and it definitely was. Seattle in command the second and third quarters, but the fourth quarter was a different story. Peyton Manning found some magic late in the fourth to rally the troops, and then guess what? We go to overtime in Seattle.
And what you mean by that, Sean Wally, is RW3 happened. And man, you know, the more that this young man plays, the more spectacular he starts to become. There's talks of the young quarterbacks, especially in his class. We always talk about Andrew Luck and the poise and the passion that Andrew Luck has, and pretty much ordaining him as the next big thing as far as this Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. But there is another quarterback in the Pacific Northwest, and Russell Wilson, RW3, that sees it otherwise, Sean Wally.
Absolutely, and you have a lot of the Denver Broncos that feel the same, that feel that Russell Wilson is better than Andrew Luck. They've played both quarterbacks now. I mean, they've played Russell Wilson twice since February, and they played Andrew Luck earlier this season, and a few of the defenders said, hands down, Russell Wilson is better than Andrew Luck, and he was great when he needed to be in overtime.
Now, Sean, last week I made a bold prediction on the game. I said that the Seattle Seahawks would win 28-14 in a rout. It looked like it was starting out that way as the Seattle Seahawks took command in the first half. Now, you had the chance to be at the you were at the game working for CBS. Give us a little insight on what was going on before the game, what your thoughts were as far as what the Seattle Seahawks were going to do, and was it up to your expectations as far as the outcome?
Well, you know, the defense for Seattle needed to rebound. They needed to show that the loss last week in San Diego was, yes, a bump in the road, but not the norm, and there was no reason to panic. And it was, of course, good for Seattle. They were playing at home in front of the 12th man on national TV on CBS. And everybody on the CBS crew that travels with them was excited to be in Seattle. It's one of their favorite cities. Jim Nantz said so himself. And Jim hadn't been back since 2005, Christmas Eve, which was your very first game freelancing for the networks, Mr. Boyd. And Jim said, you know, I don't care if it's September or December. I love coming to Seattle. So that was great to hear. And the game, you know, it was one for the ages. It really was. It was a great game that you had to view, even if you weren't a Bronco or a Seahawk fan. If you just like sports, if you just like the big name of Peyton Manning and the up-and-coming big name of Russell Wilson, Richard Sherman, you've got Wes Welker's return to the field. So a lot of drama leading up to the contest.
So what do you think here, Sean? The Denver Broncos come in, they lose a tough game in overtime. Is there such a thing, and I know that this is just the regular season, but is there such a thing as a moral victory right now for the Denver Broncos?
they played a better game, but what do you take from it? I mean, there's positives for each team, but the bottom line is it's still a loss, whether they lose 43-8 or 26-20 in overtime. It's the same result. So they've got some things to work on, as do the Seahawks. They were nowhere near perfect, but they did enough to win the game when it mattered in overtime. And there's been a lot of junk talked about the coin toss and how important that is in an overtime and how the big advantage goes to the offense that has the ball. They score a touchdown, they win. Well, guess what? Sean, isn't there a defense on the field? Isn't there 11 guys in Bronco uniforms that are pros trying to stop the Seahawks offense, and they could not do it?
Yeah, I don't understand the whole talk on the coin toss. The coin toss has been the deciding factor since overtime has been in the play. And so, like as you were saying, yeah, there are 11 guys that need to go out there and stop the opponent. And the Denver Broncos didn't do that. You know, Russell Wilson did an impeccable job. I believe that drive was 13 plays. 4 were from Russell Wilson on his feet, you know, meaning creating first downs and moving around. There were about 6 of them that were passes, and the rest were runs. And, of course, capped off by Beast Mode, who was non-existent in the San Diego game, but the Seattle Seahawks made sure that Marshawn Lynch was definitely a part of this game.
Absolutely, and that's what the Seahawks' bread and butter is. You go to it. You give him the rock. As he goes, so goes your team. And for him to only get 6 carries in San Diego, if Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, had to do it all over again, you would think they would at least double those carries, if not triple them, down in the heat in San Diego.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, of course, Marshawn Lynch is definitely up for the tasks as far as putting the team on his shoulders. Now, shifting gears, another team in the NFC West, actually an NFC West battle, and that was down in Arizona, where the Arizona Cardinals took on the San Francisco 49ers. And in the beginning of the game, it looked like, Sean Wiley, that the San Francisco 49ers were going to be clicking on all cylinders, going down in their first drive and scoring a touchdown. But after that, it was shaky for them.
Yeah, and you have to wonder what is going on in the locker room and also in the front office in Santa Clara / San Francisco, South Bay, whatever you want to call the 49ers, because they're not playing very well, and they've had a lot of injuries they're trying to overcome. But you've got Colin Kaepernick trying to lead that bunch with just gunslinging. He's putting up numbers but not getting the proper results. And who knows what Jim Harbaugh is doing, thinking, or saying. And if you look at a national level, CBSSports.com, MMQB.SI.com, Peter King's awesome website, they're saying that there's turmoil in San Francisco and the team is starting to fall apart.
And I would definitely, you know, tend to believe that. But if you talk to a lot of the media out here in Northern California, they are not pushing the panic button just yet. They're saying that, hey, last year they started at 1-2, and that's definitely true. Last year, this time, they were 1-2. But one of those losses was to the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks in the beginning. And so it's a little different feel this year. And yes, you're right, Sean Wiley, there are a lot of injuries. There is a lot of things going on outside of the locker room that is causing a little bit of turmoil as well. I just don't think that San Francisco is capable of handling this type of pressure that is upon them to actually have a good season this year. And so, you know, you're right. I think that it's you know, it's really puzzling. It's puzzling how they're playing. And here's an interesting fact, Sean, that, you know, that was just brought up today, that the San Francisco 49ers have not scored a single point in the fourth quarter this year.
That's not a good sign, because the fourth quarter, if you listen to what Pete Carroll and the Seahawks say, is when you win the game. And if they're not doing that, you look at their record, they're on the losing end of 2 out of 3 games.
Yeah, and so it is vital for the San Francisco 49ers to get back on track. It's going to be even tougher to have the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles coming in under Chip Kelly. These guys know how to score in the second half, so something's got to give going into that. And of course, you know, I believe that the Philadelphia Eagles have something for the San Francisco 49ers.
And let's go on out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in from the Seattle area, Tom Glasgow, Como Sports Director at Como Radio in Seattle, as well as Root Sports, sports anchor, sports reporter, play-by-play. You do it all, Tom. Thanks for your time tonight. You're on with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
All right, guys. Well, bills to pay, so, you know, if they ask, I never say no.
Well, Tom, it's definitely busy for you this time of the year. Of course, we're talking about the Seattle Seahawks. The big game just yesterday up at the Clink. Was it everything that it was measured up to be as far as the media prognostications?
Well, I mean, I guess so. I think everybody anticipated it was going to be a much more competitive game than the Super Bowl. It would be hard to imagine if that not being the case. You know, look, it's overtime. It's a six-point Seahawks victory. I thought they were the superior team, really, for a good portion of that game, and that's not just because they were up 17-3 at halftime, with the exception of that last drive by Peyton Manning and the Broncos to force the game into the overtime session. I thought the Hawks' defense was just phenomenal. And for the Broncos to have faced that defense in Super Bowl 48, come back, know that group, and really not be able to generate anything of significance, again, until that drive. I mean, I just thought it was terrific, and I was interested to hear Pete Carroll say today he thought, in some respects, their performance yesterday was better than their performance in the Super Bowl. So that should be very encouraging for Seattle fans.
Being on the outside looking in and living here in Northern California, one of the things that sort of pointed out to me was the fact that Seattle was a team last year that just kept the hammer down. And going into the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, Tom, it just seemed like Seattle's defense was a little complacent. And with the talks of Richard Sherman yesterday, it kind of sounded like he felt the same way. Did you see it that way at all?
You mean complacency the week prior?
Oh, well, just complacency yesterday as far as actually that continued pressure on Denver.
On the drive. You know, yeah. In the locker room, I don't think it was complacency. You know, in the locker room after the game, Earl Thomas said that on that drive, Denver was showing them formations that they had not seen previously from them. They were formations that they had seen the previous week in San Diego. I think all the guys would say that they should have adjusted better to those, and especially after the first one. You know, K.J. Wright shouldn't have been burned as badly as he was. He just made a mistake. You know, they're humans, you know, playing this game. The other guys get paid, too. So I don't think it was complacency. You know, I spoke with a longtime NFL quarterback after the game, and he thought part of it was maybe they just took a different approach defensively, more zone than man-to-man. I'd rather read into, you know, the other 59 minutes of regulation versus that last minute on that drive. I think that's more telling of what this defense is all about.
Tom Glasgow joining us. And, Tom, the Seahawks run defense was just incredible yesterday in Seattle, averaging – the Broncos averaged just 1.8 yards per rush on 20 attempts. Now, a lot was made of Big Red Bryant leaving and Chris Clements, how that would affect the run defense. It didn't look like it hurt at all yesterday.
Yeah, it's a great point. And look, I think these guys, you know, these guys love to be challenged in so many ways. And a lot of it, I think, comes from the media in terms of, well, they're not going to be as good against the run because of the losses you just referred to, or they're not considered to be as effective in this area, or somebody says something on ESPN's NFL Countdown and they take exception to that. You know, they'll find motivation wherever they can. Look, it's not to say Red Bryant isn't missed or Chris Clemens isn't missed and other guys aren't missed, but there was still a lot left behind. They're not perfect. It's interesting. You know, memories sometimes are short. Last year, you remember when they had that stretch where it seemed like they couldn't stop anybody running the football. And it took a while to adjust and regroup, and they did that. And they went on to win a Super Bowl. So, look, I think they'll have challenges along the way where it seems like something's broke on defense or something's broke on offense. That's just part of a long NFL season. I think the fundamentals are there. I think the drive is still there, most importantly. I don't think this is a group that in any way, shape, or form is satisfied to have won the last Super Bowl. I think they see this opportunity anyway to make their mark on history. Well, how do you do that? You win back-to-back Super Bowls, or you win, you know, 2 and 4 years, or 3 and 5. You know, it's that kind of thing that I at least think they're honestly shooting for. You know, it's, all of that's a lot easier said than done, but I think they really want to make a strong go for it.
Now, Tom, with the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl in February, have you seen any change or any difference in the team in training camp or now the start of 2014? The Seahawks tell it that it's one day at a time, one game at a time, championship mindset. Is that the same that you saw last year?
I really believe so, and I think, you know, they have set up. I really think Pete Carroll kind of runs this program the same way he runs ran a college program at SC in terms of the competition, with the thought of we want to be young. We know we're going to have to. You know, in college you lose guys because of graduation. Well, in pros sometimes you're forced to lose guys because of money. And players you'd like to keep, they have to move on because you can't afford to keep them. And so you're always cycling people in and out. And I think they have a system over there with the competition, with the desire, and how he handles those players and lets them be themselves as long as they're not doing anything detrimental to the team, it seems to work for them. You know, they may not win another Super Bowl. That's quite an accomplishment. But I think they've got a system that gives them a good chance to do that.
Tom Glasgow joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And, Tom, of course, Seattle having the bye this next week. If I would have asked you at week three where the Seahawks would be in the NFC West, would you say second place behind the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, good for the Cardinals, especially with, you know, Drew Stanton starting at quarterback yesterday and the job that they did getting past the 49ers. I'll just say this, it's early. It's three games in. I think anybody riding San Francisco off right now, you're doing so at your own peril. I'd rather, I guess from a Seahawks perspective, I kind of would rather be a game back of Arizona than a game back of San Francisco. But maybe when all is said and done, Arizona will be that team, and maybe they go get 12 or 13 wins this year. I don't think they're better than the Seahawks, but we saw them last year. They were certainly a playoff-caliber team that just came up one win. I'm sure Bruce Arians is a terrific coach. Look, I think it's still a really strong division. St. Louis, obviously, with the Sam Bradford injury, that's a whole different deal, and it seems like they're kind of unraveling with some of their stuff going on off the field, on the sideline. But look, San Francisco, Seattle, Arizona, I think at this point you don't count any of them out, you don't count any of them in.
Now, Tom, speaking of San Francisco, of course, Sean and I were talking about this earlier in the show. It just seems like there's a lot of turmoil in the locker rooms. There's little bits and pieces that the locker room may be divided. And then you have all of the injuries that are compounded going back to last year to this year. Do you see the San Francisco 49ers actually making it out and actually finding a rhythm at some point and making this competitive in the NFC West?
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying through three games, I think a fair response is, you know, I don't know. I'm obviously looking at it from a distance. We all know about the friction between the front office and Jim Harbaugh. I would think if they have an 8-8 season or a 7-9 season, and it seems to be coming apart a little bit, I think because of that friction, you know, maybe this is it for Harbaugh. Maybe he's one of those guys that is great coming in. He's a quick fixer, but maybe elements of his personality and working relationships that make him one of those guys that's kind of tough to be around for a long time. But look, I don't think he's the greatest quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. But Colin Kaepernick has talent. They may be getting old, obviously, at the running back position with Frank Gore and some other issues out there. But I've always tried not to overreact to early situations. You know, we get about five games in, six games in. I think you can start to see maybe some trends developing. So, you know, let's see. Maybe they can get their house in order.
Tom, across the street from CenturyLink is Safeco Field in Seattle. The Seattle Mariners had momentum. They were playing well in the wild card hunt. They had a spot for a few days, maybe a week, and now it seems like the wheels are falling off at the wrong time, getting blasted tonight here in Toronto. goodness, can they salvage this and make a run the final week?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're right in terms of the wheels. You have so many, you know, the offense is kind of gone ice cold with the exception of that game last week in Anaheim. You know, I think it was 12 runs, 13 runs they put on the board that night. They came back a couple nights later and had a pretty good. It's just the inconsistency. I mean, there's just too many droughts offensively with this team. And then you've now had Iwakuma has had four consecutive starts where he's just not delivered. Chris Young has gone on hard times. Lloyd McClendon pulled him out of the rotation today. It's not the direction now with six games left. It seems like it's going to be a long shot. Look, here's the thing that's I don't want to say concerning, but you know, if they don't make the playoffs, you can kind of step back and go, was progress made? Yeah, I mean, progress was made when you consider last year. But I think a finish in which they had an opportunity and it just, you know, the pitching became then very sketchy and the offense, you know, went back into this sort of ice age that goes to and off. And I think that's going to disappoint people and it certainly will not do anything, frankly, to encourage season ticket sales or enthusiasm about the team going into next year, I don't think. I think it takes getting into the playoffs and making a little noise after such a long drought, after such a stretch of non-playoff baseball that's alienated a lot of the fan base. Look, I hope they can go out and win their last six games, shock the world a little bit, and get into the postseason. Great. It does not seem to be trending that way at all.
Now, Tom, you do a lot in broadcasting from radio to TV, play-by-play. What is your favorite, if you have one of those three, and then what are some of your favorite moments in sports broadcasting?
You know, play-by-play, certainly. I mean, I just enjoy that. You know what I like about it, guys, is it's the unscripted element of it. You know, you spend a week or, in the case of basketball, you don't need as much prep time, but, you know, you prepare and you go out and you react, and you know, you hope you respond to those moments. We had a great game just this past Saturday. We were in Bozeman, Montana. Two Big Sky rivals, terrific teams, Montana State rated 14th in FCS football, Eastern Washington with Vernon Adams ranked second in the country. It's a 52-51 game. Eastern wins. You know, they go for a two-point conversion and get it with 27 seconds left. It was a lot of fun. You know, it was really a great game and great fans in Bozeman. So, you know, I like being in those crowds where you hear the noise, you feel the noise, whether you're working a game or as a fan. You know, it was great at CenturyLink yesterday. I think you'd agree with that. It was just such a cool environment with all of the surroundings and the hype heading into that game. So, you know, I love the play-by-play a lot. I love the other things I do as well. I'm very fortunate. You know, I tell people it beats working for a living. So hopefully it'll continue long enough to get the next one through college.
Now, Tom, you're talking about working the Big Sky and working with Root Sports. I mean, the Big Sky is definitely on the rise as far as football is concerned, especially with Eastern Washington being one of the top teams in the country. What is the difference, do you think, between a conference like the Big Sky and then, say, maybe a Pac-12 in general?
Yeah, bigger, stronger, faster. I mean, it's really that simple. Look, there's no doubt that you have athletes in a Big Sky conference, in an FCS conference, that the major conferences just missed on. They didn't see it. You know, they didn't see it with Vernon Adams. That's a major conference quarterback, without a doubt. Cooper Kupp, who's a sophomore wide receiver for Eastern Washington. Let me tell you something. That kid's a Pac-12 starter today, probably on any team in the conference. He's that good. Brock Coyle, who made the 53-man roster for the Seahawks as an undrafted free agent, out of Montana. Jordan Tripp, I think Jordan was a fifth-round draft choice out of Montana. Miami Dolphins stuck with him. So, you know, you'll have guys that make it. Seth Lobato, quarterback, a lot of people haven't heard of Seth, quarterback at Northern Colorado last year, made it with the Miami Dolphins. So there are guys. There's just not nearly as many. But there's some really good coaches. These are dedicated staffs. And they do a great job coaching kids up and getting the most out of them, but they can't coach size and they can't coach speed, and that's the big difference, I think.
Tom Glasgow, all things sports in Seattle, Como Radio 1000, as well as Root Sports. Thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure meeting you yesterday at CenturyLink and talking to you. We look forward to doing this again in the future.
Yes, hey, thanks. Tom, really enjoyed it. You guys have a terrific evening.
Hey, Tom, be sure to tell Jason Styles that I said what's up. It's been a long time since I talked with him, but a real good friend of mine, and you guys do an awesome job at Root Sports. Keep up the great work.
Well, thanks. I'm fortunate to work with Jason. He's a good guy, works really hard at what we do, and hopefully the good time that we have on Saturday, people enjoy it.
There goes Tom Glasgow. Follow Tom at Tom206Sports on Twitter. Just all kinds of insight. Worked at Cairo Radio, Cairo TV, Root Sports back in the early days when they got started, back as Fox Sports Northwest with Rod Simons, who's been on our show, and now still back with Root and doing play-by-play, and of course, Como 1000 Sports Director.
Man, Tom is also the pride of Mount Tahoma High School in Tacoma, Washington. I have to send that shout out. Of course, Dante Harris would love to hear that. Of course, the T-Birds, the T-Bird Nation, who listen to On the Double with the Double S Express. Eric Williams, who's also been a guest here on the Double with the Double S Express from Mount Tahoma as well. So some great, great talent coming out of that Narrows League school in Tacoma, Washington. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have guest number two. We're keeping all things Pacific Northwest. Big Low is in the house, so keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400. The safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And let's go right back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big emphasis on big-time guest number two, because he is Big Low, Seattle's biggest sports fan. Big Low, what's going on, buddy?
Sean, what's happening, my brother?
Man, Big Low, I'm telling you, I'm so excited to have you on, man, because you are a tremendous icon in the Pacific Northwest. And of course, you know, the history goes back 29 years of being a Seahawks fan, a Seattle fan in general. And of course, you go back to the days to when the Kingdom was actually under construction. And, you know, I believe your dad took part of that. And so, you, man, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. It's a pleasure to be on the show, man. It's like, dang, what an introduction.
Well, I mean, everybody knows Big Low. I mean, even if they didn't know your name, of course, whenever the Seahawks are playing, they know in that south end of the stadium that you keep it rocking. And
you mean the idiot with the fence, huh?
No, by no means am I saying that, but you know, just kind of give us an idea of the atmosphere in the south end of the stadium, because it is a tight-knit family over the years that's developed.
We've got the best fans in the NFL, man, in the south end, north end, east end, west end. It doesn't matter where you're at. It's everybody in that place. So that's why I'm so honored to be a Seahawks fan, let alone a Seattle fan. I mean, we've got good fans, and it's so fun to be with them on Sundays, let alone Thursdays or a cool Saturday or Monday. It doesn't matter what day of the week, as long as we're hanging out and having a good time and watching our boys win.
And as you were saying, of course, people can see you when the games are being played and you're holding up the sea fence sign. But, you know, from on the outside looking in, it seems like it's an obnoxious group that's going on. But, man, you have a really big heart as well. There are some things that you're doing in the community to give back and give our listeners an idea on what some of those things are.
Well, you know, God put me in the position to be, you know, someone in the public eye. And like you said, people do recognize me. And it's fun to go out of town in different places. And people are like, are you that dude from the Hawks games? And, you know, it just puts me in a spot where I can go out into the community and ask people for donations. And every year at Christmas time, we do what's called Santa's Biggest Helper. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, I've got a great group of girls that go out and do all the shopping for us. We do presents, we do decorations, and we do dinner for as many families as we can help. And so by doing this, we put together 300 envelopes. And each envelope is signed 8x10 or certificates for different sports memorabilia, gift cards, et cetera, et cetera. There's just, you know, all kinds of different prizes that you can win. We sell the envelopes for $25. We make $7,500 there. And then we do a raffle usually for either 100 to 300 tickets that we sell for different raffle items that we get. We've had, you know, some pretty neat donations from different companies. So it's quite a blessing. Some of the guys have put up, you know, go to dinner with me. And, you know, it's really cool. I mean, you know, you get to go to dinner with the guys and you and three guests. And, you know, there's just different prizes that we have that have really worked out really good and been a lot of fun for the people. And last year we helped 33 families, so it was pretty amazing.
Now, Big Low, when we get closer to the holidays, you definitely let us know how we can help and get the word out and have you back on and try and get some money for you to have that go off like fireworks. And that's great work that you do. Now, in terms of the Seattle sports scene, of course, the Seahawks did as well as they could last year, won the Super Bowl. That had to be the highest of highs for you and all that you've been through as a Seattle sports fan.
You know, as far as life goes, it's our trials and tribulations that make us what we are. And that was just one of the most incredible events of my life. I mean, I didn't get to go to the Super Bowl, which was totally fine because me and my buddy Kenny threw a party down at the Hawk's Nest, and we had 500 people in a 200-person bar, and it was just incredible, all the support we got. We raised a bunch of money for Marshawn's Foundation, and holy smokes. I mean, just to be in that atmosphere downtown afterwards, high-fiving and hugging the people you didn't even know, and just the elation of so many years of Seattle wanting this title, just wanting to have that opportunity to celebrate like we did. And oh my God, man, it was an amazing experience.
Now, outside of the world championship for the Seahawks, what have been some of your greatest moments as a Seattle fan?
Oh man, there's lots of them. I mean, you know, just to be part of that 95 refuse to lose season with the Mariners, the 2001 season with the Mariners. I was a little 13-year-old kid skipping school and riding Joe Metro downtown from Kent, Washington to go down to the celebration parade for the Sonics back in the days. And, you know, there's just been so many different things. I mean, being at Nate McMillan's retirement was amazing. Marcus Trufant's retirement, that was amazing. I mean, there's so many highlights to what I've gone through. And then there's the lowlights. I mean, you know, the times where you are in the stands with 3,000, 4,000 people at a Mariners game and you see a home run ball hit and you're like 15 minutes later to decide, oh, okay, I'm going to walk over and get that ball. So, you know, there's so many ups and downs and highs and big lows.
Big Low joining us here on the double with the Double S Express. And Big Low, I was reading an article that, you know, if the Seahawks were to win the Super Bowl last year, one of your biggest dreams was to actually hold the Lombardi Trophy. So my question to you is have you had the chance to hold the Vince Lombardi Trophy?
Well, I was at the rally in CenturyLink Field, and Bruno Giacomini brought that trophy around and was kind of letting people tap it, you know, and it went on by me, and I tapped it real quick and thought that was cool. Well, then Heath Farwell saw me, and Heath was like, "Whoa, hang on a second." He went and he grabbed that trophy from Bruno and brought it over and hoisted it up to me. I grabbed a hold of it, and it was like first instinct to kiss that thing, man. And so I just put a big old smooch on it. A lot of people hated me for that, but a lot of people loved me for it because I did it for the whole city. I did it for the whole Northwest. I did it for every Seahawk fan on the globe. So it wasn't for me.
Man, that's awesome. That is definitely awesome. Not everybody gets the chance to do that. And, of course, you know, it's great that the organization – thought enough of you, of course, you being Seattle's number one fan, and you know
we're all the number one fan. Yeah. I got to clarify that, man.
Yeah, because I was going to say Sean Wally would probably you know beg to differ because that guy's pretty close. But
he gets paid. He's got a job to do stuff like that, man. I pay to do it. That's the difference. I pay to do it. It's the best drug on the planet is sports, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so I mean, your passion, though, for Seattle sports is known and it's marked. And of course, let's talk a little bit about the team that's not there, the Seattle Supersonics.
There's a
piece of my heart that is that's ripped out as well. Of course, growing up in the Pacific Northwest myself, you know, once that happened, it was just, you know, utter destruction. Do you really think that Adam Silver is actually going to come together with something to where the Sonics will be back in Seattle sometime in the near future?
You know, I don't want to be the negative Nelly because I'm always optimistic. I always believe. That's one thing about me that shows my passion. And, you know, I've had several players say, you know, Big Low, you put the low in loyalty. And to feel that and hear that from these guys is truly a blessing. But there's nothing that I want worse than to have a Sonics team back. This Atlanta Hawks talk right now has kind of got me on edge because I was the guy that during the whole Sacramento Kings ordeal was telling people, look, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Everybody, oh, yeah, it is. It's done deal. Done deal. And I kept telling people, no, it's not going to happen. You know, they had so much passion down there for that team that the city just put up a fight. The fans got together, and they did what we should have done when the Sonics were here and just said, look, Clay Bennett, you ain't moving him nowhere. Somebody should have broke his legs or done something mean to him to where he decided, okay, maybe we better not. And, you know, I mean, we may still have a team today, but, you know, I've always been a guy that knows that God works in mysterious ways and everything happens for a reason, and I'm hoping within 5 years it'll happen, but I really think the NHL is going to be here before the NBA.
Now, Big Low, I mean, man, that is definitely one of the things that, of course, me personally living in Sacramento, California right now, and understanding how much it hurt as the Sonics left, and then to actually see a community down here in Sacramento that rallied, and a more so a legislature and a city council that rallied, you know, that was the sentiment that I was saying to all the fans up in Seattle as well, is it's a lot different here than it was up in Seattle. And man,
well, y'all had a mayor that cared.
We
had a mayor that didn't give a dang, and Kevin Johnson stepped up to the plate and just like belted it out of the park for y'all.
So yeah, man. So I have to praise you for that voice of reason, man. That is just incredible because in a time to where everybody was jumping the gun and saying that it was going to happen, I mean, you're that voice of reason. So awesome job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, Big Low, I would almost come out and say the mayor's office and the city council in Seattle need to get off their duff and make the arena happen because, as you said, the NHL is ready.
They want to do this yesterday, but there's nowhere to play.
Right, exactly. And you know, it's not that the Key Arena is a bad place, because the Key Arena is still, if there was an NBA team here today and an NHL team here today, it'd still be the most intimate setting for any basketball or hockey game ever played, because it's just, you're right on that court. And that's one of the big things that I loved going to the Sonics games. I sat in the second row behind the basket, and I still felt like I was playing on the court, you know? So it's an old crypt, but at the same time, it's a place that could be a temporary home for NHL, NBA, and, you know, if they would just get off their high horses and demand all these dang corporate sponsorship dollars and, you know, think about the fans for a change. That's one of the toughest things about being a sports fan, is sometimes seeing what the organizations do and don't do. And in my opinion, the NBA and NHL need to look at Seattle as, hey, we are one of the best markets in the country, and we need this. I mean, our city lost one of the biggest treasures, as far as I'm concerned, that we had. I mean, I was a Sonics fan. That was my very first sporting event when I was 8 years old, was a Sonics game. And, you know, that's how my book is starting, is the fact that here I am, an eight-year-old kid, and I went to a Sonics game, and holy smokes, I loved it. You know, Dad's pushing dirt down there at the Kingdome site, and I'm down there playing with Army Men and Hot Wheels and losing the stuff, you know. And so the passion of the Seattle sports fan is amazing, and I just wish that the NBA and NHL would look at it as such.
So your book that you just mentioned and you talked to me about briefly yesterday at CenturyLink Field, I believe is coming out in November, is that correct?
We're shooting for November 1st launch date, and I'm pretty impressed by this publishing company. Merrill Publishing is just amazing, and the fact that they were willing to just listen to me and say, hey, we think this is a great idea, I'm still pretty much in shock about it, because I never thought, I mean, I know my life story is pretty wild. It's total roller coaster from getting the flesh-eating bacteria in 1999. You know, I was the third case in Washington State, and I flatlined three times. So near-death experience, what you're going through is pretty traumatic, and it's one of those reads that's going to take you on a roller coaster ride, and when it's all said and done, it's a beautiful ending. So, and the end isn't even here yet, so that's the best part.
So this book will be a story of your life and what you've experienced throughout?
It's basically going to be, you know, the story of Lauren Sandretsky, which is the real name, and the big low persona. And, you know, because it's kind of weird, because there are two me's, really, because there's times where I'm, you know, hey, Lauren, what's going on? You know, you see your old buddies from school and stuff. And then there's the times where it's like, hey, big low, some little kid coming up and saying hi to you and giving you a high five. And I'm like I said, I'm absolutely blessed and honored to be in the position I am in life right now.
Now, Big Low, that is something that I was getting ready to ask you is, you know, the type of person that you are, humble outside of the arena. Is it surreal when somebody comes up to you and, you know, just jumps to you and says, hey, Big Low, and acts like they've known you all their lives? You know, is that something that you've gotten used to yet?
Yeah, really I have. And it feels so good. I mean, at first, the first couple times it happened years and years ago at Sonics games, it was kind of an odd feeling, because, you know, I'm just the same as you, you know, I eat, drink, sleep, and poop, you know, and that's part of what makes us, is the fact we're, you know, God made us equal. We all bleed red and our team colors at the same time. And so, you know, I mean, that's why I don't care if you're a fan of the 49ers or the Chicago Bears or the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Atlanta Braves, it just doesn't matter, you know, we're all the same. We all want one thing. We want a championship for our city. And, yeah, it's fun to poke little fun at things, but, you know, it just seems like the more and more we go through our sports lives, people tend to – Seattle fans are starting to get kind of grumpy, and it's just – it's rough to see. I had a buddy come from Montana for the Green Bay game, and he comes out and was excited about being at CenturyLink for his first time, and some guy poured beer on him, and – some guys were pelting them with peanuts the whole game. And, you know, that's just puts those guys in an uncomfortable feeling. And that's not Seattle. Seattle's always been welcoming to the other fans. And, you know, come on in. Hey, you know. And because we all want the same thing. We want a championship. And sometimes people just kind of get past that and a little too much alcohol, and all of a sudden they're picking on people. So it's just, you know, getting back to the fact that people come up to you and, hey, Big Low, it's quite an honor. And it's my big thing is trying to remember the names, because when a little kid comes to you and year down the road and says, hey, Big Low, and you say, hey, David, how you doing? They freak out and, you know, Daddy remembers my name. So that's the best part about it, is just, you know, making the kids smile.
Well, hey, Low, we haven't had a chance to actually talk to you about this season and, you know, what your predictions are with the Seattle Seahawks. Do you believe that there is a definite repeat in the makings?
This team is amazing. And at the beginning of the year, I really, 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 truly believed that this was a team that was capable of that 19-0. You know, that's the regular season and the postseason. And I really thought this was a team that could pull that off. Unfortunately, San Diego came to play last week. But I really believe that we are a team that is capable of getting back to the show and doing what they need to do to handle business to get us a second championship. And it's a fun team to watch. Yesterday proved that. When Denver tied that thing up, I never dreamed that 2-point conversion was going to happen. And all of a sudden, here it is. And we're tied, and it's going to overtime. And holy smokes, everybody around us is just kind of panic mode. And this dude that he always hears me say the positive, and he turned to me and he's like, Low, do something. I said, okay, everybody, don't panic. We got the easy button. So I pulled up the easy button and I hit it, you know, and I think that was easy. And here we go, you know, we get the coin toss. And I just felt that Russell Wilson is a field general. That kid is so poised and so focused at doing what he does best, and that's playing quarterback. And, man, he took the reins and he took control of that field, and the guys that are around him, his supporting cast, did the rest. And when you got down to that goal line and Marshawn Lynch was standing there looking at all those Skittles bags in the end zone, I know dang good and well that that man was going to do something to get in that end zone. And sure enough, boom. Oh, and to hear Rabel's little touchdown call when I saw the highlights last night, it was just, God, that makes it all worthwhile. Because to have broadcasters like we do in town, you know, we've had some of the best. And just to hear the excitement in Rabel's voice just fires you up. And it was 6 hours after the game that, you know, I watched this thing. And to hear that voice and just get as amped as I did, it was like feeling like you're a kid in a candy store just doing whatever you want to do. And, oh, man, it's just a nice feeling to have the team we have.
Well, Big Low, this one's just for you. And, you know, I know you definitely pulled out that easy button and got everybody started. So
that was easy.
That one is for you, my friend. That one,
baby,
is for you.
appreciate that.
Man, Sean, I got to tell you, Big Low always has the perfect props, like the easy button. He's known for his C-fence. And at the Green Bay game, when I was there, as Big Low liked to point out earlier, working the game, he had not only cheese, but a grater, and he was grating the cheese a la the Cheeseheads and the Packers. So he's always prepared, always ready, and as Russell says, separation's in the preparation.
I got to share something that's awesome with that, is the fact that that organization knows me so well that they knew that I was going to pull out the cheese grater. And down in front of me, they put a carpet so it could collect all the cheese that I was grating throughout the game. And so it was awesome, man, because it's just like this carpet is just covered in grated cheese, and all the guys that work the field are looking at it like, man, wish we had a little bit of macaroni so we could, like, you know, do something with that. So it was definitely a priceless day.
Now, Big Low, you mentioned how great the play-by-play man and the sports broadcasters are in Seattle, and I know that for a while you were on that path and you had a great video show, the Big Sports Lowdown, where you were interviewing people, had guests on, similar to what we do here, but it was video. Now, you did a great job, and I know you had a lot of fun with it. Do you have any of those on YouTube, on a website, where people can go watch what you did a year,
yeah,
2 years ago?
Definitely. I mean, all people have to do is Google Big Sports Lowdown using the L-O instead of L-O-W, but it takes you to YouTube, and there's quite a few. Almost all of my episodes are on there. There's just like four or five that are missing, but, you know, the interview with Sean Kemp, Gary Payton came on that show, Dave Craig, Roy Lewis, Marcus Trufant, Walter Thurman. I had a bunch of the guys come in, you know, and just had a really good time doing the Big Sports Lowdown, but the man that was running the department, he took his money and went to India with his wife because she's a clairvoyant and she had a really good opportunity over there. So he's talking about maybe another 2 years over there, but when he comes back, talking about possibly getting the show going again. So we'll see what happens. But right now I'm focused on the now. We have a new website that's going to be launching here real soon called King of the Fans. It's kingofthefans.com, and it's basically a social network for sports fans. And it's where you can come and hang out with your favorite fans in the world. And we're eventually going to find out who is truly the King of the Fans, because, you know, I mean, we're all, like I said, we're all equal. We're all after the same thing. So we're just going to have a little fun, do some cool contests, and let people run blogs on there, and just have a really cool site. So stay tuned, because that's coming real soon.
Big Low, always doing big things in Seattle, and definitely, man, if there's anything that we can collaborate on, you and I, also adding in Sean Boyd, let's definitely try and do that, whether it be audio, video, you name it. We can definitely do some big things, and, you know, between your Rolodex and our Rolodex, it's quite a bit smaller, but, you know, we've had some good guests on as well, just like yourself, and, you know, maybe we can make something great happen.
Definitely. That sounds like a plan, man. I mean, you know, you guys' show is fun, and I like fun things, that's for sure. You know, you guys aren't always serious and about protocol and all this political stuff. So it's fun to come on shows where guys let loose and just have a good time. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, Big Low, it is a pleasure having you on. It is a pleasure having you on, man, and you know, and every time I'm up in Seattle, you know this, I make a point to come out there and say hi to you, because you're right. It is. Our job is monotonous enough. And, you know, you are a breath of fresh air, and we always want to come down there in the South End and kind of hoot and holler and let off some steam. So, man, thanks for being a guest on the show, and you're more than welcome anytime to be a guest here on The Double.
Well, Sean, love you guys, man, and I really appreciate you having me on, and any time, man, definitely any time. We'll have some fun with it, and it's going to be a great year for Seattle. I'm really hoping the Mariners start pulling things off now and win out the rest of these games and get things handled to where they get to the postseason and make Seattle smile a little bigger.
Well, if nothing else, Big Low, it was great to have baseball that meant something into September, but hopefully they can not turn into a pumpkin, keep the rhythm going and find some rhythm, actually, to salvage this playoff push.
Amen. I sure hope so.
Big Low, thank you so much for your time. Big Low, one of Seattle's biggest sports fans. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
All right. Take care, Big.
Bye-bye.
Big Low, man, another guy we could talk to for hours, Sean, because he's got so many stories. You know, we didn't even get into what it's like to be around the players at these charity events, behind the scenes, off the field, off the court, and get to know them a little bit and to have interaction with them when they're not in uniform.
Yeah. You know, the coolest thing is that the players come to him now. You know, it's one thing if you were to be a person that constantly goes up and tries to make himself seen, which that's not the type of person that Big Low is. You know, he's very respectful to space. He's very respectful to the players. And, you know, these players come up to him and say, hey, man, let's do this or let's do that. That's a strong testament to the person that he is. And so, just a great joy to have him on the show.
Show 71, Sean, it's been a good one, if not, dare I say, a great one, with Tom Glasgow joining us from the Pacific Northwest, sports director at Como Radio 1000, as well as Big Low, Seattle's biggest sports fan.
Yes, and of course, you know, you guys had mentioned the Seattle Mariners, and you know, let's not count them out yet. And, you know, especially in this wild card, you have the Kansas City Royals and the Oakland A's that just don't seem to get it right either. And so, you know, dare I say that these teams back into the playoffs, but, you know, with these three vying for spots number one and two, it just seems like it's anybody's game. And, of course, with the Seattle Mariners left in the season, there's five games left. They have, I'm sorry, six games left, three with Toronto, and then ending the season with the Los Angeles Angels. And so there is still hope for the Mariners yet.
Well, definitely. Not only as a fan, I hope they can pull out a magic rabbit out of their hat, but also because the MLB Network came calling today wanting to see if I could work some postseason baseball in Seattle, should it happen.
Well, you know, that's a definite foreshadowing. And so I'm hoping down here that there's a lock in Oakland. And, of course, there are two teams down here, and the San Francisco Giants are you know, fighting for their playoff lives as well. And so the MLB Network, of course, is you know, definitely calling on us to do our duties. And so let's hope that all of us can keep things going into the postseason.
Man, Sean, we didn't even get to, with Big Low, the fact that he and I were combined in a video on the NFL Today yesterday on CBS.
Awesome, awesome video that was put together. When you told me what was going on, I thought, wow, what a great privilege that would be for those who grew up in the Pacific Northwest, who currently live in the Pacific Northwest, to actually, you know, be a part of that. And when you had mentioned that, I'm thinking, man, the person who gets to read that script is one lucky person. But what CBS did was is they did a montage of different voices. And, of course, yours was put in there, Sean Wally. And so congratulations on that. And, man, it was just – it was excellent. It was an excellent piece put together. And, you know, the nostalgia, of course, in Seattle is at an all-time high. And that – you know, that script was just icing on the cake.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity, and I had no clue how it was going to work. You know, I even forwarded you the script, and I didn't know if it was 10 people reading it or 10,000, and they were picking one or 20, and they went closer with 20, giving different people a line, which is great to give more people a little bit of exposure. And, you know, Big Low was on there shouting and hooting and hollering and smacking that sea fence.
Definitely. And so, you know, it was a great game that the Seattle Seahawks fans were treated to. That was more of a Super Bowl atmosphere than what was in February. And so, man, hats off to the Pacific Northwest and the fans up there, and, you know, continued season. Of course, there's a bye week for Seattle, but when they get right back to it, I'm sure that it's going to be the same old hat.
So, Sean, you did not have a chance to work an NFL game this past weekend. Your local teams were out of town, but I believe that changes this coming Sunday.
So, yeah, I will be in Santa Clara. For those of you who are on the double with the Double S Express followers, and you can catch me on the field and, you know, just come up and say hello. Of course, the Philadelphia Eagles come into town, and that is a big, big task for the San Francisco 49ers. And of course, my Oakland Raiders will be heading across the pond. As a matter of fact, they should have taken off this morning. They will be playing over in London against the Miami Dolphins in, you know, the NFL's version of just, you know, reaching across the world there. And so I'm hoping that the Oakland Raiders can right the ship. Had a very, very good game yesterday. Of course, it didn't come out in the win column for the Oakland Raiders, but, you know, I saw some improvements for my team. You know, I saw Derek Carr doing some excellent things and maturing before our very eyes. I think that he's not going to be an average quarterback. I think he will be an elite quarterback. They just have to put the pieces around him. You know, I'm just hoping that this, you know, the defense played a lot better. So I think the team grew up, but there's a lot more growing to do before we can actually see some actual improvements in the win column.
Yeah, Sean, I have to tell you, when I was at CenturyLink Field yesterday and I was hearing the scores and what was going on in games as we were getting closer to our kickoff, I was surprised to hear that the Raiders had a shot in the final minutes to tie the game or win it with a two-point conversion should they get the touchdown. And so that definitely is progress. And you also have to shake your head and wonder, what is going wrong in New England? Not because the Raiders played them close, but they haven't played lights out at all the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, one of the glaring things was is that the offensive line for the New England Patriots isn't the same offensive line of old. And Tom Brady is running for his life, and there was a lot of defensive penetration by the Oakland Raiders. Of course, Justin Tuck got in on the hit parade finally with a sack yesterday, and Khalil Mack played a superb defensive game yesterday, and they were constantly in the backfield causing a disturbance to Tom Brady. And so, you know, that could be a testament to maybe things are starting to click with the Raiders. But at the same time, if there was a weak link that I could pick with the Patriots, it would have to be that offensive line.
Sean Boyd, show 71. It's been good. Bordering on great. 72 will come at you in a week.
Yes. And hey, don't worry, Raider fans. I know we didn't get a chance to talk too much about the Raider Nation, but we will definitely get that in the weeks to come.
That's because Raider Nation's taking over England. You know, they're on a different time zone, different yeah. clock.
Well, yeah, you know, I meant to ask Big Low, you know, to compare, and I'm sure he would go down with the ship as far as the Seahawk faithful. But, man, there is a Raider Nation in the black hole that would probably beg to differ as far as the passion of football. And so I'm hoping that both of these teams, you know, at some point can get, you know, for the Seahawks to stay in their winning ways, the Raiders get back to their winning ways so that we can compare the two. That would be something great to see.
And how ironic is it that the Oakland Raiders are coming to Seattle Halloween weekend, the first Sunday in November?
You know, I look forward to that. And, you know, I know back in the day when, you know, the Raiders would come up and play at Husky Stadium, the Kingdome, even at then the new Seahawks Stadium, the Raider Nation has a strong contingency in the Pacific Northwest. And so I know things have changed a little bit, but I look forward to seeing that demographic in the stands to see the Raider Nation, you know, representing to the fullest.
Well, Sean, looking back, it's also ironic that you and I have had this friendship and partnership and bond since 2005. My very first NFL game was at Husky Stadium, Sunday Night Football, ESPN nationally televised game, Raiders at Seahawks.
And, you know, and I'm sure the parking lot was full of obnoxious Raider fans, which that's what we do, especially when we have, you know, some good years, you know, in front of us. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to those times. You know, when you talk about fans and, you know, the Seahawks fans are right now need to enjoy this. You know, this is a time to where it doesn't matter what any other team or any other city says about your franchise, you enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment because, you know, there are a lot of franchises that haven't even touched that moment. So don't let anybody steal your joy. Be excited about who you are. Be excited about the moment. And so, you know, because again, it might not come back around. And, you know, for us in the Raider Nation, it doesn't really matter. It does matter for, you know, for winning's sake, but you know, we're going to go down with that silver and black, but, you know, we would love to trade places right now more than anything in the world to get back to that Super Bowl.
Well, you say you'd go down with the silver and black. Hopefully you come back up and catch that uptick and get back into the elite of the AFC.
It's coming. It's coming. It, you know, but just be patient, Raider fans. I've been reading a lot on the blogs and seeing a lot in the social media that, you know, the patience is wearing thin on our for our coaching staff, wearing thin all around. Just be patient, guys. I truly believe that, you know, the foundation is put in place and that we will see our winning ways here in the next couple of years.
Well, Sean, I'm looking into my crystal ball for you, and you say you're at the Santa Clara Buttonfly Stadium this weekend on Sunday. You're going to be back there the following weekend because the CBS crew I was working with, known as the A crew, Jim Nance, Phil Sims, and the cast of characters will be in Santa Clara in two Sundays, and Diane, the production coordinator, said she will be getting in touch with one Sean Boyd.
Well, you know, I love working with Diane, and that crew is top notch, and so, you know, it's a pleasure to get a chance to work with that crew, and I know San Francisco has earned it from, you know, everything that they've done in the past, but they're going to have to turn it around to have that A crew. Yeah, I don't know if it's flexed to where the A crew would change up on us at the last minute, but, you know, I'm hoping that San Francisco can right the ship a little bit and get a chance to see the A crew come through.
Here's an interesting one that was a head scratcher for me yesterday before we get off air here, Sean, and that is Diane said that the November 2nd Sunday, the first Sunday in November, Halloween weekend, where the Raiders and Seahawks battle, she said there's still a chance the A crew might return to Seattle for that game. And I said, are you serious? She said, it's not decided yet. The other game in consideration is, on paper, a better game. You've got Peyton Manning against Tom Brady, Broncos, Patriots. But the Patriots aren't exactly playing lights out, as we discussed. So who knows? Maybe being Halloween weekend and the Raider mystique and Raider Nation and the Seahawks doing well, that would be very interesting if they did decide to put that with the A crew.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to have to book my flight there, because that would be awesome to get up there and work that game and get a chance to be around the Raider boosters up there in the Pacific Northwest.
Hey, Southwest has a good sale. Otherwise, tank and a half of gas, maybe two, you're there.
There you go. There you go.
Sean, it's been fun. Show 71, we had Tom Glasgow. A big thank you to Tom Glasgow, sports director at Como 1000 Radio in Seattle. And, of course, Seattle's biggest sports fan, Big Low, in the house with us tonight. A great show by all. Thanks to Don Newsom at the BBS Radio Studios in Paradise, California. Definitely follow us on Twitter at SS Express at BBS Radio. You can follow the station as well. Download the BBS Radio cell phone app for both Android and iTunes to listen to the show live. Otherwise, all archives available at bbsradio.com/DSX. Sean Boyd, it's been fun. We will talk to you next week, sir.
Most definitely. And so, yeah, we'll make sure that you guys tune in to SS-Express.com, listening to some great, great sports talk. But even more importantly, as Sean Wally just said, you can go to your app store and download BBS Radio, Station 2, 7 o'clock, Mondays at 7. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd, along with Don Newsom in Paradise, California. You've been listening to On the Double with the SS Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the SS Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests on the Double with the SS Express.